The scripture today is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me for just a moment. Gracious God, it is good to be here today. It's an exciting Sunday, third graders getting Bibles, music and prayer. And now I pray, God, that you would bless the words that I have prepared. Make them yours, because we need to learn about you. We need to know who you are, and we need to take that into ourselves so that we can go from here and tell others who you are. And so I pray for your blessing upon this time and upon these words, and I pray it in the name of Christ. Amen. So I was thinking about it being Bible Sunday. And on Bible Sunday, I thought, you know what is one of my favorite parts of the Bible? And one of my favorite parts of the Bible is the part that happens right after Jesus is resurrected, right after he's died and rises again. And so we're going to talk about that. You know this, all of you, many of you, most of you know the story about what happened, and this is from the book of Matthew, and that's important to know because Matthew has a particular perspective on it. That's one of the first four books of the New Testament. You'll learn that later. And in Matthew, and so Matthew's talking about this. I want you to imagine for a minute, put yourself into the place of the disciples. You know it, so just go a little bit deeper into it. And it is the Passover. And Jesus and his disciples go to Jerusalem because they want to celebrate the Passover, which is a high holy day. They go knowing that it's a little bit risky to go. The disciples understand it just a little bit. Jesus knows what he's walking into. And so they go and celebrate the Passover. And while they're there, sure enough, Jesus is arrested. He is tried. He is beaten. He is convicted. And then he is crucified on a cross, and he is put in a tomb in the garden. And the disciples watched everything fall apart. The disciples had thought Jesus was the answer. Everything was all going to be fantastic. The world was going to change. And now with Jesus dead, their lives were completely different than what they imagined it would be. And so they're afraid and they're sad. And many of the disciples are hiding, because they were really fearful, because the same Romans and Jewish leaders that had taken Jesus and crucified him, they were afraid, the disciples were afraid, they're going to take me too. And it's a real fear. It is a legitimate fear to have. We should not think less of them because they were afraid. But there were some women who were disciples as well. But the women, even though they were scared, they had this courage. And this courage that was born out of a desire to honor Jesus. And so it's early in the morning on the first day of the week. The sun is just coming up. And the women are walking to the tomb. And I imagine they're a little unsure, but they want to go. Because, you see, these women think they are doing the last possible act they can do for Jesus. They think this is the last thing they can do. And I think they were probably in the garden when it happened. And the ground, they felt a tremor in the ground, and it started to shake. And they probably stopped and looked at each other and said, "What is going on?" And then it got a little bit bigger, and then it got even bigger. And the trees started to sway, and the rocks started to jump around on the ground. And they were very frightened. And in the middle of that, an angel of the Lord, dressed in white, appears out of nowhere, comes down, moves the stone away from the tomb, and the women are just like, "What the heck is going on right now?" We've seen recently what an earthquake can do, the devastation and the terror and the great loss that is a part of that. And I've never been in a big earthquake. I was in a very tiny earthquake, the one that was here. And I was back in the boardroom, and we were in a meeting, and I felt something, and I thought, What's going on? And listen, the minute I figured out what was happening, I was up and I was out. I was outside before you could know it. I was very fast. And I was outside and looking around for a place to be safe. But not the women. the women are standing their ground in the middle of an earthquake, in the middle of an angel coming down from God, and the angel looks at the women and says, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go and tell the other disciples." Not yet. That's the next one. Don't be afraid. Go and tell the other disciples. The guards were there. They were guards. They were big guards guarding the tomb of Jesus. The scripture says the guards were as frozen men. I think they fainted. They couldn't move. They couldn't do anything. But the women were not afraid. And they had this courage that they held on to. And the angel is looking at them. And they're looking at the angel. And they're wondering what's going on. And then there he is. Right in front of them, Jesus comes. Jesus in the flesh. And they can't imagine it. And they're beginning to hope. And they see him. And they fall upon him. The scripture says they fall upon him with hugs and cries of joy. And they are so excited. And they greet each other. And it's a wonderful thing. And then Jesus looks at the women and says, just what the angel said. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Go. He doesn't say, hey, y'all might want to take a walk. He says, go and tell my brothers, the other disciples, to go to Galilee. And they go. These women go and do this. And they're not frightened and they're not screaming, but then now they have a purpose. They came to the tomb thinking it was the last thing they were going to do for Jesus, and instead it's the first of a new mission. These women are sent on a mission from God. They're fully committed to Jesus, no matter how crazy it seemed. They'd been watching him over the last couple of years, right? They'd been learning from him. They'd watched as Jesus blessed person after person after person. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus ate with people who we would not want to sit at the same lunch table with. But Jesus did it. Jesus showed inclusiveness. These were women. Women were not always treated as equals in this time period. Rarely were they, but Jesus didn't care if you were a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. Jesus cared about you. He cared about who you were and what you might be. Jesus taught them to pray together. He taught them to listen to God. He taught them how important it was to learn and grow in your faith. Jesus taught them to bless others, to eat with all kinds of people, to listen for God's direction and learn all they could about their faith. We've been in this sermon series for the past 4 weeks. This is week number 5. We are learning 5 habits that will make us better people, better Christians, a better church, so that we can go out into the world and share with other people what we know. And today you get number 5. Sent. You are sent into the world. Jesus sends us into the world to tell others about him. The women at the tomb are sent. The disciples are sent. They are missionaries, tellers of the story of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, when you hear the term missionary, this is what you think of. People from long ago that go to faraway places, and they cross burning deserts, and they go into deep jungles, and they tell people about Jesus. And that is true and good and appropriate. Some people are called to do that. But missionaries are different, can be different. I know I was a third grader. I remember being in third grade, just your age, and we had a covered dish dinner at the church. This was a really wonderful thing. And a covered dish dinner, do you remember these? You would go to the church one night during the week, and people would bring the best food ever. And they would line it up on these long tables, and you could take a plate and go through your line, and you'd get macaroni and cheese and scalloped potatoes and ham and fruit salad with little marshmallows in it. My mother never put marshmallows in fruit salad, but I was like, yes, I want that. And then dessert after dessert after dessert. And I had a big plate of food, and then I had a little plate with not one, not two, but 3 desserts. And my mother didn't say a word. I was like, this is amazing. And so I went and we sat down at those long tables with white paper tablecloths on them. And we would eat dinner and talk. And then about the time we all started in on dessert, the missionary would stand up and talk. And they would show a slideshow, and they would teach us a song, and they would usually have some things from the country that they were at. Maybe they teach us a word or two. And I'm sure that they were very good and very interesting. But I remember being more interested in the desserts I was eating than what the missionaries were saying. And I think it's because in North Canton, Ohio, at Northminster Presbyterian Church, being a missionary was far, far from my thought. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I could be a missionary. I didn't think God could call me to do that. But you're a missionary. And you're a missionary. And you're a missionary. And you're a missionary. And you're a missionary. All of us are missionaries because we know the story of Jesus. And God sends us to tell other people. A missionary is someone who shares the story of Jesus' love. We are called to be missionaries right now, right where we live. There may be some people that are called to sell their cars and sell their homes and leave their families, but we are called to be missionaries in Herndon, Virginia, or Reston, or Percyville, or wherever you are right now. You are called to be a missionary and tell people about Jesus. Instead of seeing this as a missionary, I want us to begin to see this. These are missionaries, and they're right here in Herndon, Virginia. A couple of years ago, a group from this church traveled to the Holy Land. And we're going to Israel, where Jesus lived. And when we were going, Tom Berlin was at a clergy meeting. And at that clergy meeting, Rabbi Holtzman, who's a rabbi down the road, gave him some money and said, "I want you to take this to Jerusalem and help someone in need." And Tom said, "That's help me understand that." It is a Jewish tradition. It's a particular form of charity where a person gives somebody who's traveling a sum of money to bless someone else. Not only does it bless the person there, they believe that it blesses the person who is traveling. It's a kind of protection. So it's like a double blessing that happens. So Tom took the money, and you know Tom Berlin. He's like, "Hey, we're all going to do this." So he enlists everybody's help. And it's one day, and we're in Jerusalem, and we're going to tour the city. And he said, "Keep your eyes open for someone in need, someone we might be able to bless." And it changed everything. I saw so many things that day. I saw the Via Dolorosa, the Mount of Olives. I saw the Wailing Wall, and it was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed the sights, but I also kept looking at the people. It's like I had different glasses on my eyes. We were at a bookstore, and we were waiting. I was waiting out front for people, and while I'm there, I started talking to the people that were out front, and we had a conversation, and I would never have done that before because I would have been focused on, I'm seeing Jerusalem right now. When I was waiting in line to go see one of the sites, I engaged the people around me. I observed children playing together, parents watching them. I saw people that were anxious and people that were happy and people that were sad, and I wondered about them, and I took note of who they were and what they were doing. It changed everything. Now, it's interesting because someone came to us. We kept asking the question, is this a person we can bless? Is it kind of waiting for that spirit moment for God to say, this is the person? Someone came to us and said, "I'm hungry. Do you have any money so I could buy a meal?" Well, we didn't give him the money because that's not how you do it, but we did buy him a meal. And he was hungry and he was filled and he was lonely and he had conversation and he was blessed because Rabbi Holtzman gave Tom Berlin money and told us to keep our eyes open for people in need, and we saw people with new eyes. Is it possible that that's what God is calling us to do, to open our eyes so that we can see things differently? We need a new lens. Instead of thinking as other people as missionaries, think of ourselves as missionaries in our schools, where we worked. Our desire to fulfill that mission changed the trip completely. We can do this. If the women at the tomb could do this, the women were sent after an earthquake, an angel. They'd been traumatized by all that had happened to Jesus. If the women could do this, then so can we. And we know the women did it because a little bit later in the scripture, the disciples go to Galilee. And Galilee, Jerusalem is here. You have to walk all the way up to Galilee. It is quite a journey to go to Galilee. And the disciples go. And Jesus meets them as well. And Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations." They're launched, sent into the world to teach other people what they know. They're missionaries. It's what we do. Sounds pretty easy and actually kind of exciting, right? It's kind of a thing that we do. I want to give you a little lesson on words. Boys and girls, you might want to... Let me tell you something. I want you to say missionary. Missionary. Now I want you to say the word missio. Can you say that? Missio. The word missionary is from this Latin word, missio. Missio Dei means a mission from God. But it means, the word mission means, are you ready for this? Launched, ejected, or pushed. It is not a gentle little experience to go out into the world. So in order to show you this, we have a little experiment we're going to try. Megan, come on. Let's do a little girl power here. Oh, yeah. All right, don't worry. We practice this. If you're sitting in front, you might just want to cover up a little bit. But no, actually, we practice it. Nobody got hurt. It was fine. Nobody was hurt in this. So I want you to imagine that you are this T-shirt. This is a Wesley Fellows T-shirt. Are the Wesley Fellows here right now? Raise your hand, Wesley Fellows. They're sitting in the back. They're a part of our church now, and this is that T-shirt. If you get one of them, you get to keep it and advertise the Wesley Fellows. So I want you to picture you're this T-shirt, right? And you are being pulled. No, you keep it tight. Don't let go, whatever you do. Pulled. And you feel that rope stretching, and you're thinking, Marilyn is worried right now. Like, that's coming right at her, right? And it's like, is it going to break the window? Where's it going to go? And it's pulling, and it's tighter, and it's tighter. And if you're this T-shirt, are you thinking, I can't wait to be launched into the world? Are you thinking that? It's like when I was I was 10 years old, right? And I think I'm going to dive off the high dive at our pool. Have you ever gone off the high dive? Oh, it's really high, right? So I'm climbing up the ladder, and you're climbing up. Just hold tight right there. You're climbing up the ladder, and you get to the top, and there's railings, right, out for a little bit, and I'm holding on, and I'm walking out. I'm thinking, I can do this. I can do this. I have courage. And then the railings stop, and you're just on the board, and it bounces just a little bit. And I walk to the end of the board, and I think, I can do this. I have courage to do this, right? And I did. I had courage to step off the board. It was after I stepped off the board that I panicked. And I said, what the heck am I doing? I don't know how to land. And that's what's important to remember about being launched. It's not the launching that's hard. It's the landing. So you're pulled back. You're pulled back. And... you are launched into the world. You got a T-shirt. All right, should we try it one more time? Yeah. Let's turn this way a little bit. I'm really hoping it goes past you all. All right, I want you to say, go where you are sent when I launch this. Can you say that? Go where you are sent.
Go where you are sent.
Okay, one, two, three. Go where you... So anticlimactic. Let's try it again. All right, we're doing it. It's going to go, right? Oh, my gosh. That's the angle. All right, do we have time? One more? And if not, I'm going to throw it. Who's got a good arm here? This isn't going to work because the T-shirt's unfurled. All right. Sometimes you're not sent very far. Thank you. Sometimes You are sent far away, and sometimes you are sent much more close than you think you're going to be sent. But you're thinking, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And all of a sudden, you're out there. Jesus has launched you into the world, and you think, I don't know how to land this. I don't know what to do when I land. And so we want to equip you as best we can. And that's what these five sermons have been about. The last 4 weeks, can you put the bell slide up? Thank you. We have asked you to bless 3 people, to eat with 3 people, to listen for God, and to learn about God. Those 4 are getting you ready for today. Today, you are sent into the world. You are not gently pushed out. You are sent into the world to tell people about Jesus. And I have something that's going to help you. Because in order to go into the world to tell people about Jesus, you need to notice Jesus in the world. You need to train yourself to recognize when you see Jesus at work, when you act like Jesus, or when other people act like Jesus. So I want you to write it down. I want you to take note. And here is a way that you can do it. Here's a picture of my phone. And there's, I think, 4 or 5 different things there that I wrote down during the day, one day last week. Because I've been practicing this for a week, right? Obviously not the slingshot. But I wrote these things down when I observed God, when I heard God, when God was speaking to me. I don't think they'll make much sense to you, but this is an app on your phone. It's just the Notes app. It doesn't cost anything. When you see God at work in the world, or when God talks to you, write it down. Another way you can do this, a lot of us already do this, is via Instagram. Here's a picture of last weekend. My husband and I went to Massachusetts. Our nephew got married. And we went to the beach one morning. And we're walking up. You know that moment you're on the boardwalk, you walk up to the dune, and then you see the water for the first time? It was so beautiful. It was breathtakingly beautiful. And I stopped, and I thought, new every morning is your love, great God of light. And all day long, you're working for good in the world. That just came to me, and I said, that's Jesus. So I took a picture. And every time I look at this, it's on my computer screen now. Every time I look at this, I think, new every morning is your love, great God of light. Or take a look at this picture. Friends of mine went to near the Houston area. They just got back. It was Hurricane Harvey. This is a picture of them helping people affected by the hurricane. They're blessing others. This is Christ at work in the world. So I want you to take note. You don't have to fill out a whole notebook. It can be sticky notes. It can be on your phone. But when you write down when you see Jesus, it becomes tangible. And you can look at it later. So I'm going to give you some words to think about. This is for everybody, congregation. This isn't just for third graders. This is for everybody, those of you at home here. Here are some things to look for. First of all, beauty. When do you see God's beauty in the world? It might be Cape Cod, it might be your child, it might be the fall leaves, I don't know, it might be music. When do you experience beauty? Jot it down. Phone, sticky note, some of you journal a lot, write that down. Number 2, forgiveness. When we live in God's kingdom, there is forgiveness. When do you forgive others? When do others forgive you? When does God prompt you to forgive? Write it down. How did it feel? What do you wish you would have said? Number 3, care for others. This is hurricane relief. You can do it by giving money to the hurricane relief. You can do it by helping somebody else. There are so many ways that you can care for others, but God calls us to do that. And then this last one is harder to explain, wholeness. You could say healing. When Jesus was on earth, his whole mission was on restoring broken people. All kinds of people, it didn't matter who they were, his mission was to restore broken people, and that should be our mission too. Now, if you are in a medical profession, physical or mental health profession, you've taken the gifts that God gave you, and you spend a lot of time healing broken people. But we can all do that. We can all do that, but you have to have your eyes open for it. And sometimes, if you're looking, you are going to see the Holy Spirit heal in a way you don't understand. Take a note. Write it down. Go back at the end of the day and reflect on how God works in the world. And before you know it, if we do this, then when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it will be that much closer. Because we are missionaries. We are sent into the world to bring God's kingdom. When we first talked about this sermon series, I thought, oh my gosh, this is a big ask of the congregation. It's a big ask, 5 habits. But I've talked to some of you and you're doing it. And I've been doing it, and here's what I've discovered. When I intentionally follow Christ through these actions, I am a better Christian, I'm a better person, I'm a better mother, I'm a better wife, I'm a better friend. When you are intentional about following Christ, it is possible to be launched in such a way that you can land and bring God's kingdom. And that's my prayer for you today, that you might be launched and go into the world and make disciples of all people. Amen.